WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The members of the band The Washington Squares are veteran punk rockers who left that scene in 1983 to play folk music, but they didn't leave the new wave beat behind. The members of the band are Tom Goodkind, Bruce Pascoe, and Lauren Agnelli, along with honorary member drummer Billy Ficca, who played with the punk band Television. They've just released their second album called Fair and Square. From that album, here's Fourth Day of July. You play folk songs, but you play them like rock.
Yeah, the thing is that folk songs are traditional songs with no known writer. It doesn't really matter how you play the folk song, as long as it is folk material. No one etched in stone that the rules with folk songs is that it must be played on acoustic instruments a certain Appalachian way. I think it would categorize the music in such a way that was extremely stifling.
Bruce, you're a really good rock guitarist. What made you want to play songs that come out of folk music?
Well, first of all, I really was looking for some kind of meaning in the music. I was very kind of disenchanted with the strictures of modern pop music, especially at the time when we started the band. And I was kind of a little bored with just playing electric guitar. And so for me, it was just an interesting way to, and a challenging way to do something a little different.
You had been playing in punk bands in New York?
Yes, a number of different punk bands. And
had you gotten tired of that?
Well, I hate to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but I got really tired of the volume. And I got tired of the crowds were just sort of pointlessly nihilistic. And I thought that it would be much better if people were going to be against something, if they were against something that was it was productive to be against, like Ronald Reagan and repression and the fight for freedom of speech, etc., to be for that.
Lauren, you were singing with punk bands, weren't you?
I played also.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I played rhythm guitar, uh-huh. I played organ, I played synthesizer, but I kept writing songs, and I had a great love of music, and I loved to be on stage. Had a great time.
What made you want to leave New Wave for the kind of music that you're doing now?
Well, basically, the band broke up, and I wanted to move to England in the early 80s to become like a country singer or something, but I had to come back to New York. I didn't want to lose my apartment, and you know, my visa ran up, and then I was waitressing, and these guys met me, and they remembered me from the old days, and they wanted to get a female in the band with them, God bless them, so, you know, that's how I started being in this band. I was already kind of off playing with amplifiers. I sold most of my equipment when I moved to England, and so I was looking to do something with a little different instrumentation and feeling and, you know, sure, writing different kinds of songs. That appealed to me.
Tom, you had been booking acts at the Peppermint Lounge, a new wave club in New York. What tired you of that scene?
I really enjoyed that scene. I had a great time there seeing all the bands coming through. But what tired me was MTV had suddenly started playing what we had taken so long to bring up in a way that it sort of lost its countercultural edge. And it was time to go on to some other form of music. I found a rockabilly band sitting in my office talking about how their daddy had just joined the KKK and how proud they were. And I said, it was time to say check, please, and move on to the next restaurant.
Whose idea was it to start playing folk songs?
It was all of ours. I mean, what happened was we were rehearsing as an acoustic group, and we started to sing great harmonies. Bruce and I went back to his house, screw around, and we said, why don't we've been screwing around with Sloop John B. and Michael Row the Boat Ashore and If I Had a Hammer. why don't we try singing these things? Because nobody's, if we don't sing them, they might not go on to another generation. There might be a halting of this folk process. And it would give us something a little bit more to do than just play pop music for large audiences. It might be very interesting. The politics sort of came in later, but the idea of actually singing folk music came in quite quickly.
You have some surprising songs on the new record. The one that surprises me the most is Greenback Dollar. Now, I really think of that as one of the squarest songs to get revived or to come out of the folk revival. It was a Kingston Trio hit.
Right.
I really like the way you do it, and I really couldn't believe you were doing it.
We've been doing it at the end of our concerts since 84, I think. I mean, it's been our big concert closer, you know, the rave up. And we love doing that song. It's a great song.
Well, whose idea was it to do it? Who heard the potential first in that song?
Greenback Dollar was a camp song that we all learned as campers, and it came naturally. When we first started listing songs we wanted to attempt, all three of us ran for that song.
Some people say I'm a no camp. Others say I'm no good. Yeah, but I'm just a natural born traveling man, doing what I think I should. Yeah, I'm doing what I think I should. And I don't give a damn about a greenback or dollar. Spend it fast as I can.
Were you used to singing tight harmonies, the three of you, before you started singing together?
Well, in my other band, we sang some harmonies, but they weren't this tight. I mean, three-part harmony is quite demanding, wouldn't you say?
Bruce and I spent about a year and a half in my office at the Peppermint Lounge singing. I mean, when I was supposed to be working, which is one of the reasons I'm no longer working there. But it sounded great. I mean, it sounded like tight Everly Brothers harmony. We knew we needed a third. We went in search for Lauren. I don't recommend this to you children at home, but it's the kind of thing where if you find a three-part harmony that works, where your neighbors aren't banging on your doors to be quiet, but are telling you, we want to come in and listen, quit your jobs and go for it. I mean, it's an amazing thing.
The impression I always had of your band was that you started off doing folk songs ironically, and then the deeper you got into it, the more serious you got about it. Is that right, or am I totally off track?
We were always serious about playing folk music. It's just that there had been such a dominant cabaret scene in New York that when we got up there and we did our whatever you call it, our Weavers, our Peter, Paul, and Mary, our Kingston Trio, they looked at us and said, God, what a cute act. What a joke this is. What a great idea. And they wrote us up as a parody. We really weren't, but we went along with it for a little while just because it got us bookings. Luckily, that's past us now.
And it's also because we had such great sense in dressing ourselves.
You wore beatnik outfits. I'm not sure if you still did. And to the press, you handed out beatnik kits.
We've always had a sense of irony and a sense of self-parody and a sense of humor. And I think that we've learned that what we really aspire to be is a great band. And as much as we had fun with the beatnik kits and the whole image, people did get confused. They didn't know whether we were a band or a parody. So in our presentation now, we're a little more focused in that we're a band first and foremost.